Blog Talk Radio.
This fall, the Fantasy Sports Channel will make history
all over again
with even more live
fantasy sports radio
than anywhere on the planet. At least 12 hours of fantasy football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus more fantasy sports talk every Saturday and Sunday. More than 50 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business.
Try getting that on your radio dial.
The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a schedule you can bet on.
Mike, I swear to God, I'm an addict, but I'm going to be honest with you. I had a dream about David Nelson the other night.
I'm living in that 21st century, doing something mean to it. Do it better than anybody you ever seen. Do it straight from the haters, got a nice ring to it. I guess baby, superhero need the same music. No one man should have all that power. The clock ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power.
One bleeds red, and one bleeds blue. Two friends, one heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time.
All right, let's go!
On Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Michael Trent, Mikey, what a week. I don't know if there's been a bigger story in the National Football League right now than Cam Newton. You have to give him his props. You have to give him his due. He went from being totally underrated to probably now being totally overrated, but there's a lot of good things that I like when I'm watching Cam Newton.
Yeah, no doubt, Scott, and it's good to talk to everybody, and hope the Red versus Blue crew, you know, they're ready to fill up that chat room and everything like that. Yeah, Cam Newton, I mean, he is totally, he's the naysayers, they're keeping their mouth shut right now, and of course he threw three picks, but still the guy is continuing to throw for 400 yards, and he's doing everything athletically he can do. He was in a boot earlier in the week, and well, the boot is gone. The guy's going to play this week, and he looks good to go. You know, it's hard to believe that a guy can make that big of an impact, but there were some out there that said that he would. But, you know, he's done that. How that, you know, you opened the show with a dream about David Nelson, and how'd that dream end up?
Man, I tell you what, you know, it's just one of those things you wake up in the middle of the night, you're like, oh, my God, I just had a premonition, and I heard the name David Nelson. It was like the TV was on, and you're missing the game, and you don't know what's going on, and then all you hear is David Nelson blowing up. It's like the recap, you know, when you're watching NFL Network and you're replaying the games. And I can't remember who was the announcer of the Bills game this past Sunday, but that's basically what it was. It was, oh, my God, David Nelson, you know, and you're like, you wake up. And I'm like, that's the guy I got to go get. Well, you know, I put a big bid in him, what I thought was a pretty big bid. I was all over Donald Jones last week. And this week, you know, David Nelson's still sitting out there. I'm like, man, I could have swore that Nelson would have been picked up. Well, he was still sitting out there, and I put a bid of like 255 in. He goes for over 500. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not the only one that this high on this kid. 6'5 slot receiver. You gotta feel good. That's another feel good story. There's so many feel good stories right now, and we're gonna talk about them tonight. The phone number is 347-324-5404. Wherever you may be, thanks for making us part of your night. We do the show every Friday night, Red vs. Blue. Thanks to the crew, the chat room here at Red vs. Blue. We've got a lot of great guys. Some of the best minds in the world of high-stakes fantasy sports are here. Mino Brown, Henry Muto, Lance, Sports Betting Man, the Prognosticator, Billy Wall, Code Cracker, the list goes on and on. Sackett's in the house, Nine Route. You guys make the show what it is. John Duckworth's in the house, too. Warkin, can't forget about him, a.k.a. Yellow Line is unofficial. Let's go back to Cam Newton again. Again, most impressive. Very week one. Arizona on the road almost gets a win. Green Bay at home for Green Bay almost gets a win against the defending Super Bowl champs. It's not the fact that he's throwing for the yards. Forget the yards for a second. It's how he's doing it. He's doing a little bit of everything. Of course, he runs the ball. The incredible touch he puts on the ball. The fact that he has more carries than both running backs combined, I think. I know he has more carries than any of the running backs on the team. Chudzinski is really just giving this guy the keys. And the team and the city and the fans, they have something to believe and hope for again, you know? I mean, he's totally taken this team on his back. And it's just a real nice thing to see. I mean, look, I'm going to tell you this straight up, Mike. The FFPC main event last week, not a single person bid a single dollar on Cam Newton in my high-stakes main event league. Now, you tell us how smart we are, okay? 12 bozos sitting around the room, watch Arizona, and we probably all thought to ourselves, and I'd love for these guys to call in and chime in. I mean, these are guys that are very respected. I mean, Larry Goldstein, Big Mo, okay? We got names in this league, right? Guys that have been on our show, guys that are nationally ranked in the world, top five, Big Mo, you know? And none of us bid a single dollar on Cam Newton after watching Arizona. That has to be because what? We probably looked at it and said, oh, somebody's going to bid a lot more than me. That's a classic mistake, a big faux pas. If you're a high-stakes player, I don't care what you think. If you think it's going to go for $500 or $1, you have to put a bid in on a guy like Cam Newton and throw it out there, and you never know when you're going to get surprised with a Cam Newton victory for $1. Instead, Mike, I bid $810 on Cam Newton this week and won him. I'm a Tony Romo owner. I can admit it. I feel like I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous class right now. I'm a Tony Romo owner. I'm nervous as hell. Luckily, I'm 2-0. And I wanted to keep it rolling, and this is my move. This is my big move for the year. I'm not going into a season without, you know, with cracked ribs, pain injections right before the game, Dez Bryant's dinged up, Austin's dinged up. I'm not going to go stress like that. I'm going to put Cam Newton in this week, and I'm going to sit back and relax.
Well, yeah, and I don't blame you. You know, you had to pull the trigger there. Something I want to ask you is after week one in a lot of high-stakes leagues, like you said, Cam Newton in that particular league, nobody really pulled the trigger because, you know, was it a week one fluke? You know, who's to say? Did Randall Cobb go?
Did Randall Cobb what?
Did anybody bid on Randall Cobb in that league?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I don't have it in front of me, but I could tell you though, the fact that he's not involved in the offense that it was predicated on a special teams touchdown and a box play touchdown.
Yeah.
I could tell you that he's not the kind of guy that would very likely get a lot of stuff. But still, it's still a guy. It's a wild card flyer, you know, wide receiver four on a team. That's his problem. But yeah, nobody bid a single dollar. That $1 bid I could have spent last week would have saved me $809 bid dollars and very likely a chance at $200,000.
The only reason I asked that, Scott, is it seemed like in a lot of leagues that I'm in, and, you know, I was looking at stuff, it was pretty much very similar to the league you're in, the high-stakes league that you're in, the main event, that it seemed like more people were bidding on Cobb than Newton, and I couldn't understand it. He's a role player, and that's pretty much about it. That's all he's going to do for Green Bay. But, you know, people got excited about what he was doing, not just because he's from the University of Kentucky. It's just the fact that they got excited about the 108-yard kickoff return, the reception, and things like that. But I think Cam Newton is the real deal. And, you know, I can't really fault you for bidding the 801 or the 850, whatever you did. Because, you know, you got Romo as your other quarterback, and so you pretty much got to go for broke there.
Well, again, that's a big story. Cam Newton's a big story. I think the second story that we have to give credit to, if we're going to move this thing in an orderly fashion, let's give our sympathies to the Jamaal Charles owners. I mean, what a terrible, terrible break for these guys. I hope they took advantage of that crazy insurance league service that somebody offers, because, man, you study all year, you go to Vegas, you fly out there, you have a great time, you spend $1,000 in the at the blackjack table or whatever, and then you draft Jamaal Charles, you're feeling good about the team, and then you see that happen. So, you know, hey, yeah. It's one of those things. You look at Jamaal Charles, there's nothing not to like about the guy except for the coach, and here he is. You spend your first pick on him. Rightfully so. Nothing you can, you know, I had a 4-pick in the FFPC main. I didn't do it. I took Calvin, luckily, but I was thinking Charles. And to see that guy, I just wanted to, you know, extend our condolences to the Jamaal Charles owners. It's hope is not lost. I mean, what do you do there? I hope you backed him up maybe with Thomas Jones or McCluster. I want to get the chat room, the crew here to kind of chime in on that. But what are your thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, you know what? I would really like to hear what some of the great minds in the chat room have to say about this, because, you know, I didn't take Jamaal Charles in any league. It wasn't because I was banking on an injury like this. I mean, you hate to see that. The only reason I didn't take him was because of my trade I made in Hyper 2 for Tom Brady in a first-rounder in a dynasty league. But, you know, you don't want to see an injury like that. You hate it. And I would really like to see what the chat room has to say, because, you know, are they going to rely on Thomas Jones? Or are they going to rely on the fumble-prone Dexter McCluster? You know, to me, you almost have to give this Thomas Jones one more chance. But Kansas City, let's face it, they have shown no life whatsoever, whether it be the running game or the passing game, to get anything going. So, you know, it's going to be tough, whether it's Jones or Dexter McCluster.
Yeah, Charles Dunn for the year. Dexter McCluster did get 33 snaps to LaRon McClain's 26, Thomas Jones 27. It's a committee all the way out. McCluster will be there in the on the passing game. Who knows about the time? There's not gonna. It's just a bad situation if you have a chief right now. Even Dwayne Bowe, any chief, Jamaal Charles. Now that he's gone, I mean, if you took him, that team is just looking so bad. Hopefully, you took the under in the loss in the win loss column, like our friend Dave Gerzak recommended everybody earlier in the year. But, yeah, it's just one of those things. I have to get that out of the way. I mean, you draft Jamaal Charles, and it's just it's going to be a big-time uphill battle for you. But I've seen it done before. I've seen League One where you lost the first pick. So it's not just about one pick in these things. It's, you know, you need 10 guys out there, you know, trot out 10 guys every single week on the field. And so that's just one guy. Tony Romo, Mike, if I want to go to a story number three, that was his legacy game, right? That was his legacy game last week, what we saw with the cracked ribs, the punctured lung. I mean, coming back into the game, knowing that his team needed him desperately more than they ever had before against the Niners. And to see him come back and do that, I was like, wow. First of all, I thought his day was done. You know, I'm watching, and he's out there at the halftime, and he walks back to the locker room. You have everybody going down like crazy on the Cowboys. You know, Dez Bryant, who looked like a monster week one, he gets hurt. Then you've got Austin going out, who we don't know how long he's going to be out. It sounds like to at least week five. I mean, this guy was a monster with three touchdowns. And now you had, you know, just a dream fourth quarter for Tony Romo to come back and say, look, this is my team. I'm a leader. I'm a warrior. I'm coming out here, and I'm going to put it all out on the field for my Cowboy fans.
Yeah, you know, Scott, it was I got to retract a statement that I made last Friday and a statement that I posted. You know, it seemed like the best thing for Dallas was for Tony Romo to play three quarters and then set his tail end on the bench because he screws up so much. And then he did what he did last Sunday, and I got to admit, man, I was shocked, blown away by his heart, his courage. He pretty much came over to John Kitna and said, you know what, great job, man. You know, you did all you could do, great job, but in order for us to win this game, we cannot afford to go 0-2. In order for us to win this game, I've got to be on the field. And he just went out there and, you know, performed like a champion. And I think he garnered a lot of respect around the locker room, obviously fans, and other players in general around the league. And, you know, I thought it was a pretty awesome performance that he did.
The one guy that I don't want to have to face this week, Mike, there's one name in the entire league that I don't want to have to face this week, and that's Kevin Ogletree, okay? If you see you're playing against Ogletree, it's a catch-22. It's a bad situation to be in because, number one, you look at the name, you kind of chuckle. You're like, ha-ha, I'm playing against Ogletree, right? He was a non-factor last week. He had 64 snaps, huge edge in snaps over Jesse Holly. I'm reading that off of Pro Football Focus. But the fact is, that was with Dez Bryant out, and now he's a real sneaky play with Miles Austin out. So you gotta think to yourself, that's the last guy in the world you want to play against is Kevin Ogletree, because to see that guy go off on you is going to be the worst experience of your life, because you feel like you should have a dominant edge on the guy, but all of a sudden this guy is going to be out there for, you know, 70 snaps or so. He's going to be out there as much as Jason Witten, so very scary situation. It is a sneaky starter, Kevin Ogletree.
Yeah, you know what? He could be very solid. I really think right now, you know, I think Ogletree will, you know, he'll get some, and Holly will get some. I really think this game sets up big time for Jason Witten. Washington, they sometimes have a hard time you know, covering that little 5-7, 8-yard pass route. And, you know, I see Jason Witten just having a huge day because, for the simple fact, if Romo does play, which he will, they're not going to want to go downfield that much. And it could be a lot of dump offs that could help out Jason Witten and Romo at the same time.
347-324-5404 is the number. Business has just picked up in the chat room. The crew here, Red vs. Blue, Lou from BFD, and our good friend IR, Hawk and Roll, is in the house. Mike, you know, I want to switch this up. You know, it's kind of a little variety show tonight. I heard it on the radio the other day. I got to pose this question to the chat room and to you. We're talking, you know, Sundays are just such a fascinating thing. Everybody has their game day ritual. I would love to have a show one of these days where we get the high-stakes crowd to call us up and we talk about that'd be a fun show. You know, maybe one of these shows coming up, we might do this and pull this off, because I just am fascinated to hear what other people do for their Sunday mornings and how they get ready for the game. Is it the same kind of thing that that's how we all kind of do it, I think. So I think it's pretty set in stone. Here's how I do it. Here's what I do. Here's what I wear. Here's where I go. Here's how I, you know, that kind of thing. But whatever, I think we all are addicted to the Red Zone channel. If you don't have it by now, the Red Zone channel, I never hear a single complaint about it, number one. I mean, out of all the things you could talk, I mean, People complain about everything, okay? It doesn't matter what it is, they complain about it. But the Red Zone Channel is like this Quan, okay? Nobody complains about the Red Zone Channel. It has to be, hands down, the best invention in sports history. Mike, what do you think? What do you think about the Red Zone Channel? Do you have it?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there's not a lot of Sundays I get to watch football. I'm normally working, but this past Sunday, I was able to watch football, and, you know, it seemed like I was checking on this game, checking on that game, and at the end of the day, no, not at the end of the day, by 2 o'clock, 2:15 Eastern time, I was on the Red Zone Channel, and that's all I was listening to, that's all I was watching, and you can't beat it, because as a fantasy owner of multiple teams, you want to know exactly what's happening, when it's happening, and that channel gives you everything.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next time. I'm trying to prioritize this stuff. It's very difficult for me to do so. You know, that was just a must-win game for Tony Romo. They had to get it done. They could not be 0-2 to start the year, Mike. You know, and this week, that's why this week is even more important for teams. 0-3 is a number you do not recover from. Only 3% of teams that end up 0-3 ever make the playoffs. So that's something, you know, you cannot do it. And there's several teams that don't want to feel that way, you know, this week. And 0-3, you know, it's over. And I know that there's Colts fans still holding hope. I know there's Vikings fans still holding hope. And, you know, they're out there. And Chiefs fans, I'm sure, you know. But, look, you go 0-3, and it's a death toll. You know, you can't do it. So, Dallas made a big move last week. They're now 1-1. A key game against Washington, who's 2-0. And this is what's great about the NFL this year, Mike. Three teams, I've got right here, the three teams that have the longest playoff drought in the NFL, Mike. Detroit Lions, Houston Texans, and the Buffalo Bills. And you know what? I'll watch any of those three teams this year. It's fascinating to me. All three of those teams are going to be in the playoff hunt this year. I mean, it's hard to believe that Buffalo could be in the playoff in that division with the Jets and the Patriots. But let's face it, Houston, nobody's challenging really Houston this year in that division. Detroit's got a real uphill battle in there. They've got a tough division. But all three of those teams who have not made the playoffs in forever or never are going to be seriously contending to be playoff teams. And so, yeah, we're fantasy football fans, but we're football fans first. And that's just fascinating to me. And that's why that New England-Buffalo game, it's going to be great. And I'm going to have it on. And I'm going to be flipping back and forth between Red Zone and that game because New England's the type of team that says, hey, we're going to score a ton of points. We can't stop a nosebleed. You're going to have to beat us. You're going to put up more points than we are. And that's why Buffalo's offense just has a little bit of everything. And it's going to be pretty – you got to get your Bills – starters, your Bills players in the lineup this week. I've been reading a lot of Bills message boards and things like that, trying to get a handle on the whole Nelson Jones thing. And there's a lot of Bills fans out there, Bills homers that sit around and watch practice and all this stuff. There's a lot of Bills homers that think that Donald Jones breaks out this week. Now, Nelson broke out last week, but there's a lot of homers out there that think that it could be Jones this weekend. And that's my one fear about bidding a lot for Nelson is that it could be week to week a different guy. You know it's going to be Steve Johnson, but the fact that they didn't go after any receivers in the draft, really, I mean, they already had Easley. They let go of Lee Evans. It told me that they were supremely confident. Chan Gailey was supremely confident in the receiver coach in these wide receivers, and they've always talked about him. I mean, they've always raved about him, but we've just never seen anything happen. And so the fact is, I think all these guys are pretty damn good, and it's going to make it very tough to lock in one guy week to week. I mean, that's why people are bidding on Nelson. He's 6'5", he's a slot receiver, and that's pretty damn appealing. But I think it could be back and forth week to week. What are your thoughts?
No question about it. I bid quite a bit on Nelson in a couple of leagues and didn't get him. The only reason I did that is because how exciting this Buffalo offense is. Fitzpatrick and the whole team, I mean, they got these guys humming. Oakland, they jumped on Buffalo last week, 14-0, like it was nothing. I mean, just real quick. And Buffalo just kept clawing back. Next thing you know, Buffalo's, they tallied up a ton of points. There's a reason why the New England-Buffalo game the over and under is 53.5. I mean,
that'd be halftime.
I mean, that very well could be. And so I'm kind of a believer in Buffalo. I really don't know if they're going to beat New England at home, but I'm going to tell you what, they're not going to score 7, 10, 13 points. They're going to put up some points. And, you know, that's got to make you a believer in a David Nelson, because I am.
Yeah, and they're talking about Spiller playing some wide receiver this week. They want to get Spiller and Fred Jackson, who is totally underrated, Mr. Underrated Fred Jackson, Mr.
Yeah.
Sixth Round in fantasy football. He's the guy that if you don't have, you're pretty upset about. I wanted him, and I think he went like one pick right in front of me. I was mad, and I ended up, I don't even want to talk about it. So, again, and I want to give a shout-out to Lou at BFD, the coaching tree article on the Bills offense. Totally nailed it. Chan Gailey, if you read it, you knew what was going to happen, and Fitzpatrick has totally proved everybody in that organization right. That kid can play, and it's going to be an exciting game, 1 o'clock on Sunday. That's the game that it's going to be hard not to watch that. I mean, you've got Houston, New Orleans, but Houston hasn't really Houston hasn't really wowed me to the fact that they really just, you know, scare teams. You know, New Orleans, they're playing okay. I think they're still riding off the coattails a little bit off their Super Bowl, you know, 2 years ago. And I look at the other games. I mean, Detroit at Minnesota. I'll watch a Detroit game. I don't care when. I mean, I could watch them doing whatever. It's almost like, you know, Michael Vick. I could watch him, watch the TV. You know, he's that kind of player. But Detroit, they're so much fun. I don't care who they play. I could watch them anytime. But I think New England-Buffalo steals the show for me at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, New England-Buffalo is going to be the best game at 1 o'clock. But I think Houston and New Orleans, because, I mean, New Orleans, they're going to score, but they're going to give up. And Houston, they've got a lot of things to prove. Right now, Arian Foster, the fact that he's been a real disappointment to a lot of fantasy owners. But they still have Schaub and, they've got a lot of things, Andre Johnson, a lot of things to prove, and they don't want to go into New Orleans as just a 4-point underdog, which is surprising to me. They don't want to go into New Orleans and, fold up because, they folded up last year, so they've got a lot of things to prove. And the other 1 o'clock game that I'm kind of interested in, Scott, is Giants and Eagles. You know, interconference game, and that, for whatever reason, the Giants, they're getting no respect, and maybe they shouldn't, but I don't know. I think Eli Manning might keep this game close enough, depending on what happens with Vic and the whole situation there in Philly.
Well, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, Mike. I mean, this is the National Football League. This is where, you know, 3 weeks in a row he throws for nothing, and then you pull him out, you sit him on your bench, and he blows up for like 404. I mean, that is the NFL, and it never surprises me when that happens. But as a betting man, I can't start Eli Manning this week, especially against that secondary and the fact that they're so dinged up and that he hasn't looked good. I mean, he's going to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with Peyton before the game. To make this thing work, I mean, here you are, you lose Manningham, very likely. I haven't heard that he's out, but I imagine that he is with the concussions, and you haven't practiced, and so the fact that he hasn't practiced, I think, makes it very difficult to put in. And, you know, Victor Cruz and Brandon Stokely, I mean, these are your guys now. I mean, gosh, I can't get into it. Not against that team, not against that Eagles team who's coming off a loss already. It's not a thing that I think I put Eli in. I'm gonna start Andy Dalton over Eli Manning. Okay, that's how I'm gonna roll. All right.
Yeah, Scott, real quick. I can understand that starting Dalton ahead of Eli because I've got Eli on a couple teams and I can't start him either. But the one thing that might help this entire game out for the Giants is the fact that the Eagles, they have no offensive line. I mean, they have really struggled in the offensive line. And, that's just enough to keep the game close enough. to where maybe, you know, Jacobs and Bradshaw can do something, you know, to keep this game close enough for them to where they might sneak something out here.
You know, that game, that Giants-Rams game last week, it was kind of interesting. Sims Walker led the team with 64 snaps out of a possible 69, so it was kind of nice to see somebody finally emerge in that offense. This whole Lance Kendricks thing, I think, got way overblown. It seems like every year we watch the preseason and we watch, listen to training camp and all this, and then, all you know, you really blow out of proportion guys that aren't quite ready to be superstars yet. And, you know, it could be this week, it could be next year, but the first couple of weeks, if it's any indication, says that, you know, okay, if you were drafting Kendricks in the hopes of stealing a stud tight end and not taking one, you're sorely mistaken. You need a Fred Davis. You need a Gronkowski. You need at least a Winslow or something if you're going to play in the FFPC. NFFC, you know, there's not a better tight end in the league right now than Tony Gonzalez. After that game that we saw the other night, I mean, Atlanta, they have their issues. I still don't think that Matt Ryan is fully clicking yet with his good wide receiver, Roddy White. But, boy, does he have something with Tony Gonzalez. Great win by Matt Ryan, by the way, to really – you know, that's a big-time pressure game, Atlanta versus Philly with Vic returning and all the Vic jerseys everywhere. Big win for Matt Ryan, and that was a pretty exciting game from start to finish, and too bad that Vic couldn't finish, but, hey, Matt Ryan gets the win. Tony Gonzalez owners are getting rewarded once again. It's like he's only disappointed us one time, and then all of a sudden we just think that his age is a problem, and it continues not to be, Mike. If you drafted Tony Gonzalez, you're loving life right now.
Yeah. Exactly, and you know what, you made a good point there. You know, I put some stock into Lance Kendricks for St. Louis, and you know, he was only targeted maybe 3 or 4 times the other night, and you know, and one time it was in the end zone, it was overthrown, it just didn't work out for him. But other than that, he was really not he was not a part of the game. And, you know, at the tight end position, you better watch it. You better watch it when you're wanting to draft rookie tight ends. I think Jermaine Gresham last year, I mean, I don't think he made that big of an impact. So, you know, that position particular, tight end, you have to watch drafting rookies because I'm starting to learn right now. And, you know, I learned from Lance Kendricks. Of course, he might turn on here come week, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, but that might be a little bit too late for my fantasy team.
Hey, in that game, Jeremy Maclin proved that if you took him with your, you know, fifth-round pick, you're loving life right now. Wide receiver high, 67 snaps, making it 2 weeks in a row. He led the team skill position players in snaps. D-Jack was just 8 behind him. On the other side of the ball, you've got to be watching Michael Turner here. Now, remember, week one, Jason Snelling played more snaps than Turner, but this week Turner did it was closer than you think, though. Turner was on the field for 36 snaps, 14 of which were passing plays. Snelling had 21, 16 of which were passing plays. So, and then you've got Jacquizz Rodgers, 13 snaps. Turner's coming off on the passing plays. And Snelling and Rodgers is out there. And we've always known that about Turner, but it seems like he's not getting the workload even what he had. Now, they're opening up some big old truck-sized holes for this guy, and that's what makes him just, you know, shoot through the hole, and he's running like molasses down the field, but there's nobody near him. But, again, you just got to keep your eye on it. He might not be a guy that I don't know if he's going to make it the entire year as your starter. You just kind of have to watch and see how they utilize him, but kudos to you, Jeremy Maclin owners. If you got him, you're loving life right now. And I mean, that's 67 snaps, and what an awesome performance. Now we got to see if Mike Kafka. I guess Vic is playing the game, but with the way that offensive line works, you never know when Kafka is the guy that's going to be in there. So,
they better get somebody ready. If Vic can't go and Kafka is, they better get somebody ready behind Kafka, because I'm telling you, this offensive line, it's stunk in the preseason, and I don't put a lot of stock into the preseason, but you could see it. I mean, you could see that something wasn't right, and you could see it's not right now.
Let's talk about Baltimore, Mike. After week one, we look at it and we said, Baltimore is the real deal. Look what they did to Pittsburgh after laying the wood to them. What the heck? Tennessee in their home opener just goes in and handles business, and it was never even a question. I mean, Hasselbeck looks like he's really figured this offense out quickly. I mean, quicker than you could have ever expected a quarterback to come in and do it. Kenny Britt looks like an all-world wide receiver. I mean, again, if you're piecing together Britt and Macklin, you know, and then you add in a guy like a David Nelson or maybe even an Eric Decker or something, you've pieced together a wide receiver crew, and you didn't have to spend more than a fourth round pick on it. So. I think Damian Williams was out, LaVell Hawkins was playing, and it's the Kenny Britt show. Chris Johnson continues to disappoint. He's another first-round bust right now. I know some people have thrown out Adrian Peterson, or maybe it was Jamal Charles, but right now, so far, it's been Chris Johnson, and there's not a bigger bust as far as tight ends go than Jared Cook, because, again, look at all the hype around Jared Cook, and he hasn't done anything. I mean, Craig Stevens edged out Jared Cooks by 7 snaps. Cook did run 15 more pass routes, but he's not doing anything with him.
No.
Hasselbeck to Britt is a combination you got to love.
Yeah, Britt is just, I mean, he's being a stud right now. And, you know, I think he will be. I think he'll continue to be that way because Hasselbeck is, he's already shown that, hey, this is my guy. This is the one I love to go to. I don't know in the past how many times Hasselbeck has been going to a tight end like a Jared Cook. I know John Carlson was one of his favorites, but Baltimore, going back to your original question, I'm not concerned about Baltimore one bit. You know, I made statements on the show, 2-3 weeks ago that there were two teams that I thought were going to be sleepers that will make the playoffs, and that will be Oakland and Buffalo, and the one team that will make the Super Bowl is Baltimore, and I still stand by that. That was a bad week. They weren't ready, obviously. Something happened there, but they're going to St. Louis, and they'll get things going again. Their defense is too good. Their quarterback is too good. Their running back is too good. Those three things there, that's a recipe for a Super Bowl contender.
Well, I'll give you that. I just don't. I don't know what to make of that game yet. So I'm. I am definitely not ready to hop off the Ravens bandwagon. But I'm looking at my options. I'll tell you that. So the Colts continue to look absolutely atrocious. They can't even get a win at home against the Browns. I mean, how far the mighty have fallen. I mean, Peyton Manning. He's one man on the team. There's 53 guys on the team, and there's one guy that's that important. You're seeing how Collins is getting harassed. And, you know, Peyton's notorious. I mean, how often do you see Tom Brady get sacked? You know, how often did you see Peyton Manning get sacked? Not a lot. These guys know what to do with the ball in their hands, so that's a part of it. It's not all the offensive line's fault. It's almost like poor Jay Cutler over there, you know, the same situation. He just can't get rid of the ball, and every time – you know, the offensive line guys turn around and look behind him. Cutler's got his helmet, you know, sideways. He's got grass tucked in his visor. And, you know, it's not all the offensive line's fault here in Indianapolis. But this thing is not right. The mojo is gone. The confidence is gone. The heart and soul of the Indianapolis Colts is gone. And we don't know when he's going to get it back. Now, he wasn't at the game last Sunday. He was overseas getting a surgery. I don't know what that means. It's so hush-hush. You'll never find out if this guy's going to be able to make it back in time. I mean, can Kerry Collins get him to, 3-6 before Peyton? And if 3-6 isn't going to get you anywhere, because there's no way Peyton could come back, you know, at that point anyway and do anything. So this thing has just gotten a number one pick written all over, really. I mean, I think they're better than that. I think the Colts are better than what they've been the first couple of weeks, but they sure haven't shown it. They've lost all their heart. And they've got to get that back because they are more talented than this.
There's no doubt about it, Scott. I mean, they're a heck of a lot more talented than what they're showing. There's no leadership going on. You know, the Colts, what I saw out of them on Sunday reminded me of what I saw out of Kentucky against Louisville. Just nothing. I mean, just a flat line, no heart, nothing. Nobody wants to step up and fill that role as a leader. And Caldwell has to find somebody out on the field that's going to do that. But so far, nobody has done that. And they're going to have to do that. Until that happens, that losing streak's going to continue. And I guarantee it, it's going to continue against Pittsburgh. Because Pittsburgh, they don't have any mercy. Whoop-de-doo. Peyton Manning's not in there. Kerry Collins, well, we're going to have fun with you then.
You've also got the DeLone Carter situation there and Joe Adai. Carter is way behind in snaps, 55 snaps for Adai to Carter's 14. Colley's way behind on snaps. Reggie Wayne and Garcon led the Colts skill position players with 68 snaps. That blew Austin Colley away. But Colley was usually removed on running plays, so it wasn't that big of a disparity in the passing game, but you do want to keep an eye on that. Those guys are very hard to start right now. It's just a very difficult situation here in Indianapolis to be a Colts fan. I got to hang around and live around all these neighbors who, you know, all they want to do is watch the Colts game on Sunday. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm going to chill in my house, and you can come over if you want.
Well, we're watching the Jets game, right?
Yeah. It looks really, really bad. There's another interesting situation that I want to talk about, and again, it's another bad passing situation. You know, this Tavares Jackson and the Seattle Seahawks. Very interesting, sneaky play this week for Sidney Rice. He's back this week. The coaches are saying he looks absolutely phenomenal. You couldn't ask for a better start at home versus Arizona. The question is he game ready? They say he looks great in practice. Does that translate to on the field in action? They need something. They don't have anything right now, and they need something to spark some life. And, you know, I don't know. I can't remember how much. Did this guy get like $40 million, something along that line? It's a lot of money. And they paid him to come in and make a difference. Now, whether he can do it is the question. He's never done anything other than a one big season with Brett Favre and his magical years. So, but if he's on your bench, which he has been, right? I mean, for anybody that has him and drafted him, you had him on your bench. This is the week where you start to question, maybe, do I do it? Do I throw him in there? What is my other option, you know? And it's one of those things. It depends on your options, but he is somebody that could get a look this week because he's playing the Arizona Cardinals, Mike, and you know Arizona can't stop anybody.
Well, that's true, and to be honest with you, instead of Sidney Rice, Jackson, I'm going to rely more on Marshawn Lynch, believe it or not. I think Lynch could have a pretty good game against Arizona. He might get 100 yards. He'll get right around 100 yards, and he may score a touchdown. You know, I would lean more toward Lynch. But if you have Sidney Rice, those corners of Arizona, they're not that great, but I think they might keep him out of the end zone.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Washington Redskins, Mike. I don't know if there's a more intriguing team in the league. Mike Shanahan has done a classic job of getting this team off to a 2-0 start at Dallas on Monday night. Washington continues every year to play Dallas very, very close, very, very tight in these types of games. And I don't have the spread in front of me. I remember looking at it and saying,
4.5.
How many?
4.5. Dallas is 4.5.
Yeah, I would almost take the points in this game. I mean, it seems like a value play to me. I would take the Redskins, and you know, what have we seen here? We've seen good defensive play. We have a lot of speed on the outside. We have a huge target in Fred Davis over the middle. You've got a ground game that is dependable right now. I mean, that's what you could say about it. Tim Hightower, Roy Helu. And that offensive line, they're pretty dependable right now. And then Grossman is not making the big mistakes. So you've got a team here that is pretty intriguing. Santana Moss, if you have him, you've got to put him in your lineup. And Fred Davis is the waiver wire grab of the year so far if you didn't draft him. So what do you think, man? Washington's 2-0. Could they get it done in Dallas?
Well, Rex Grossman, he made a comment after the lockout was over with that we will be a team to fear in this division. And so far, he's made good on that comment. Honestly, I think Dallas will win this game by a touchdown or more. Washington always gives them fits. The over and under is 45 and a half. You know, I can see Dallas D giving up maybe 20, 21 points, but no more than that. I just think there's too much firepower to go with Dallas and Washington. I just think they're going to, you know, make too many mistakes on offense. Rex Grossman, we know what he can do. He's either an A or an F, kind of like me on this show. He's an A or an F. He's gonna play a fantastic game, or he's gonna be a big time bust. So I think Dallas wins this game with no problem.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Mike. It looks like this team only really gets it going when they have the ground game going. It seemed like they started to get a little bit of the offense was clicking. The defense has been absolutely atrocious. You look at the statistics that they've given up and in the fashion that they have, they've just been getting run over. So you also look at the offensive skill position players, and you look at the MVP of last year, Mike Williams, and you're not seeing good signs about Mike Williams. They're talking about him not getting separation. I mean, he did make a great catch for a touchdown last week. You saw it, and they called it back on a holding call. But that was all he did, one catch, like minus 4 yards. I mean, that's an awful, awful performance for a guy that a lot of people spent a third-round pick on. He didn't who was that was telling me that Mike Williams didn't show up to camp or didn't show up to the Josh Freeman summer camp? You know, this attitude thing is coming up, and now you got guys like Spider-Man, Peter Parker, Preston Parker, whatever his name is, going off. And yeah, you've got Aurelius Wynn still in the mix. You got Briscoe still in the mix. Winslow's doing his thing. And I don't know, are you a little afraid? I'm almost ready to kind of make Mike Williams prove it to me.
Well, you know, Tampa Bay is they're a 1.5-point favorite at home against Atlanta. And the thing about Tampa Bay, I think they'll be a very good team as long as they're ahead, as long as they can let LeGarrette Blount, you know, have his fun, do what he needs to do. When they fall behind, man, that's a risky team. And not just risky, I mean, they can get beat and get beat bad in a lot of situations. I like Atlanta in this game. I think Matt Ryan and that whole team is starting to gel. Like what you said earlier in the show, him and Roddy White, they're going to come together. And then, you know, with Turner and everything and Gonzalez, everybody else coming together, they're going to be fine. The one thing about this game, though, is if Atlanta starts to give up the type of rushing yardage like they did to McCoy, I mean, LeGarrette Blount, this could be a very big game for him.
Could be. You said McCoy. We haven't talked about McCoy all night. I mean, I know we talked about the Eagles a little bit, and we kind of glossed over what he's doing. But, man, I'll tell you what, I am fascinated to watch LeSean McCoy play football in the National Football League. This guy has such vision and patience, and the way he squirts around and gets extra yards on every time he goes down, I really like watching LeSean McCoy. And I tell you what, there's no – yes, Andrew, about the bat. This guy is a number one pick caliber player in the National Football League. Just love his game. So just thought I'd throw that out there. And let's look at the 4 o'clock games, Mike. You already mentioned, we did mention the Jets at Oakland, Kansas City at San Diego, Baltimore at St. Louis. That's the one you talked about. Green Bay at Chicago. That's a huge game. We'll have to talk about that. Code Crackers in the house. Arizona at Seattle. Atlanta at Tampa Bay. Okay, out of those games, look, it's obvious. Green Bay at Chicago, that's the game you got to have on. It's a rematch of the NFC Championship game where Cutler went out. And, again, I touched on it a little bit briefly in the show. Every time the offensive line turns around, Cutler's getting up, he's got his helmet on sideways. And it's just the poor guy is getting killed out there, and he's got to be totally frustrated. This sets up for a big, big Matt Forte-type day, right? I mean, you've got to give this guy the ball, let him run it, let him hammer it, see what he can do. Because Cutler just doesn't have time to throw the ball, and he doesn't have the mental clock to tell him to get rid of it, right, when he doesn't see the rush coming. They're coming from all directions. Have you seen the poor guy? The highlights of this pressure that this guy sees, they come from all over, the whole line. They just maul over him. It's going to be very, very bad in the Chicago game. It's going to be bad for Jay Cutler once again, I'm afraid.
God, the mental clock, I love it. When we were watching Chicago last weekend, and Troy Aikman, I mean, he couldn't have put it any more perfect. Jay Cutler, he was getting beat up so bad, sacked over and over again, and Chicago made an interception or a fumble recovery or what have you. It was right around their own 5-yard line, and Troy Aikman said, well, a lot of Chicago fans and everybody and the whole team, they're pretty happy about this. Well, except for Jay Cutler, because he's got to go out there and endure some more punishment. So, I mean, right when we looked at each other and just laughed so hard because that is so prophetic. I don't know what's going to happen with that game because Green Bay, they're going to be going at them. But the one thing about this game is that Matt Forte, he is so good coming out of the backfield, catching short dump-offs. Matt Forte is going to be a very good play this week, I believe.
We're talking about James Starks in the chat room. I said it. I agree with Rich Codecracker from the FPA board here. Grant may be the starter, but in name only. You know, he's out there the first play, but look, Starks is the clear difference maker. He 6.8, I think, yards per carry the last I looked. And, man, that kid, we talked about it. A couple of us were kind of feeling him and tried to get him where we could. But, boy, his stock started going way up afterwards after that Thursday game. And it was very, very tough to get him. But I think he's going to help a lot of teams this year. Just a funny feeling. I think he's going to help a lot of teams this year do something real special. Starks had a 37-18 edge over Ryan Grant in snaps. It's clear he's the top back, okay?
Yeah.
So just all the way around.
He came on strong last year, Scott, and, you know, it wasn't this early in the year, but, you know, I mean, it was like mid-late November or October where he really started to get things going. I think Ryan Grant is maybe on his way out, and Starks is going to be the elite back that Aaron Rodgers needs because he needs to have that elite back to get him back to the Super Bowl and do what they need to do again.
The Maurice Jones-Drew situation continues to mystify a lot of folks, not us here at Red vs. Blue. We talked about it last year. We talked about Rashad Jennings cutting into his reception counts, and it's not just Rashad Jennings. It's Deji Kareem. He's not getting as much work in the passing game, and that makes him very difficult to be the type of player that he once was when he's not getting that 50-60 catch type season. So, in that Jets-Jaguar game last week, I think how that translates to this week, you've got to take a hard look at Mike Thomas this week. He had Darrell Revis on him, you know, pretty much last week. He played 42 snaps, 26 passing routes. That led the team. Jason Hill was inactive, so Cecil Shorts and Jared Dillard, those guys kind of got involved. But playing against the Panthers, you've got to have a little bit more faith and confidence that Mike Thomas can get something done for you. He's a heck of a playmaker. Don't give up on this kid. If you have him in your lineup, go ahead and put him in there this week against Carolina. I think you'll be very happy. I hear that Mercedes Lewis is going to play. I think if you can correct me in the chat room, go right ahead. But I really think that Mike Thomas is somebody you will enjoy starting against Cam Newton's offensive explosion here. They're going to have to try to keep up with him, and it's going to be fun. You're going to see Cam Newton on one side, Blaine Gabbert on the other, the top two quarterbacks pretty, you know, arguably in the draft. I love Andy Dalton. I got him in like six leagues today for like pennies on the dollar. I really considered taking Dalton over Cam Newton and saving my money, but with Cam Newton out there, I had to spend it. shame on us for not making a single dollar on it this week.
Scott, you know, Jacksonville, they're going to have to show, in order for MJD owners to be very happy with what they've gotten, Jacksonville has to show some kind of pass game. I mean, you know, anything whatsoever. I think the Mercedes Lewis being back is definitely going to help. You know, with those different routes that he runs, and so Jacksonville has to show a pass game to help MJD out, to help him run a little bit. And at Carolina, you know, it's right now Carolina's 3.5-point favorite. This game, it's going to be very tight. I think it's going to be very tight throughout.
Mike, who's the bigger story? Looking at that Broncos-Bengals game last week, Eric Decker or A.J. Green? I mean, Brandon Lloyd goes out, Decker comes in. He's a guy we've been high on, and he completely shows everybody that he is a big-time playmaker in the National Football League. The Bengals with A.J. Green on the other side, I mean, Dalton looked fantastic. Great passer rating for the time that he's been in there. And A.J. Green has proven to everybody that, hey, I might be a rookie, but I'm the best rookie wide receiver in this class, not Julio Jones. That's what he's trying to prove. And he has a very good opportunity to do it again this week with Jerome Simpson. All these troubles. I don't know. How do you get caught with 6 pounds of weed being delivered to your house and they're not even they just write you a citation or something? I mean, is that how it is in Cincinnati? I mean, I've been to Cincinnati. It's a little rough, but, man, I didn't know it was like that.
I guess that's the way they breed them right now. I don't know. Right now, the Eric Decker was awesome, but he's going to be restricted on what he's able to do. I really believe that, even though Nosal Moreno is kind of a jerk, and Denver, they want him out of there. But the most exciting thing to me is two young guys, Dalton and A.J. Green, they're starting to build a relationship that could be very exciting in Cincinnati. I'm not saying, you know, they're going to make playoffs or anything like that in the next couple of years, but they're building a relationship that is going to be a lot of fun. In Denver, I just don't know where that team's headed. And Decker's going to be on another team in the next 2 years, and it won't be Denver.
This is usually the time of the program. Well, before now, we would bring in the prognosticator for him to give us our player props and, you know, make a little cash on the side with your books. I have very sad news to report that the prognosticator's time is over for 2011. The action has been canceled. And, you know, for good reason. Look, he totally burned up his book for several years running. And the book, and he told me, you know, he talked about it several times on the show. I don't know how long it's going to continue. I don't know how long he's going to let me do this. Well, the time has finally come, and the time is over. So if you're a bookie, you might want to give the prognosticator a call, and you could challenge him. Maybe throw out your own player props for him to choose from, because he absolutely rip-roared through the ones that were available to us. 2-1 last week, barely missed on one, went 2-1.
You know, I really hate to hear that. Why don't you take two games and I'll take two?
Well, you go ahead, buddy.
Okay. I'm going to take Baltimore because that's who I'm going to play them pretty much every week. So I'll take Baltimore. Where the heck are they? There they are. Baltimore -4 at St. Louis.
All right. I'll have to pull up my lines here. Here we go. I don't understand how Cincinnati is favored over San Francisco, so I am going to go ahead and take the underdog here in San Francisco. I'm going to give them some credit and say that they have the better team. Even though I do like Dalton, I'm going to go ahead and take the 2.5 points with San Francisco, and then I'm going to take the over, of course, in the New England-Buffalo game, 54. I mean, come on, that's a halftime score for those two teams. So that's my two. Good luck to you, Mike. The crew in the chat room here at Redbirds Blue, absolutely phenomenal. We'll try to do a better job next week. keep the positive momentum going, gang. Don't think about any losses. Don't think about that. What you resist persists. Think about wins. Think about being the grand champion. And let's make it happen. Guys, we'll see you next week. It's Red versus Blue. Mikey, we'll talk to you tomorrow, bud.
You've been listening to Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.